There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A quiz of ice and fire.
Hello there, listeners. Thanks for tuning in today for another quiz of Ice and Fire. I'm Lady Guinevere, and today I'm bringing you our 20th quiz. And this one all about the Pate prologue from A Feast for Crows. We're hoping this subject is fresh in some of your minds, as it was the focus of our most recent regular episode. And as always, we want to thank our generous patrons for their continued support, which has unlocked this bonus feature for everyone. And speaking of bonus features, if you'd like to help us by being a patron, check out our campaign at patreon.com/radioWesteros, where you'll see all patrons gain access to our patron-exclusive episodes. Currently one all about the Arthurian influences in A Song of Ice and Fire, one on the Varamyr prologue, speaking of prologues, and a mini-episode all about world-building in A Song of Ice and Fire, which was recorded at Ice and Fire Con this past spring. As well as early access privileges and opportunities for shout-outs and other fun perks. So we always enjoy inviting guests on our quizzes, and today we have none other than Aziz from History of Westeros. Hey Aziz, thanks for joining us.
Hey there, Lady Gwen. It's good to be here. I love trivia, so this will be a lot of fun. I love getting at the, because we get to play with some of the most obscure details. The line of thinking that goes with trivia is trying to be obscure, and I like being obscure.
Yes, absolutely. And we try to hit on some pretty obscure, challenging questions. So we don't want to make it too hard for everyone. We'll have a couple of softballs, but it's always fun putting these quizzes together and recording them with our friends. You and I have worked together a lot over the years, but this is your first time joining us for a quiz.
Yeah.
And this is great. It's a good fit for you since you do like this, kind of the obscure little details.
Yeah.
Digging into that stuff. So what's going on with History Westeros? I know I just joined you recently for the wrap-up episode for your Game of Thrones reread. So I assume you are now marching on into Clash of Kings.
Yeah, we'll be starting a Clash of Kings this week, as in the week that this is being recorded. So, near the end of September. And then we're also releasing a House Blackwood history episode, which, of course, will contain some current stuff as well, but a big full look at House Blackwood. And we're working on some Dance of the Dragon stuff with y'all, of course. I assume you know that you're working on that with me.
Yes, I do. I've heard a thing or two about that.
Yeah, you didn't forget somehow that we've already done a whole episode together on that.
No, I have not. And if you listeners happen to have missed that, do check out part one of our Dance of the Dragon series. That was our first regular episode collaboration, and we are working on part two. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who knows how long that will go. There's lots to talk about with that topic. So, all right. So as far as quizzes, you guys listening know the drill. Now's the time to get out your pens and papers or whatever you do to keep track of your answers. Get ready to be challenged. These are some challenging questions, all taken from the Pate prologue.
Yes. I also did an episode on the Pate prologue, and I consider this quiz particularly challenging. So I think that y'all should not feel too bad if you don't do well on this one. I think doing well is getting few, you know, you can get a lot of questions wrong and still consider yourself having done well, I think. So, and on the other hand, if you do get all these right, wow, very good. I would say bravo, but this is Old Town, not Bravo. So.
Right. Cheers to you if you score 15 here. But whatever your scores are, whatever your feedback is about the quiz, you all know that we love to hear that stuff. So let us know across social media, wherever you connect with us. And so having said all of that, it's time to get started. As always, we let guests go first. So Aziz, over to you for question one.
All right. Question one, the A Feast for Crows prologue quickly introduces a love story of sorts, love story in quotes. As we soon learn, the POV character Pate has special, also in quotes, feelings for a young girl named Rosie. Our question, how old is Rosie at the start of this prologue?
So Rosie, a character who exists entirely off page.
Yeah, we never actually meet her.
We don't actually meet her, but we do want to know how old she is.
Maybe we'll meet her and, you know, when if Euron comes for Old Town, we'll get a mention of Rosie.
Oh my God. I hope Rosie stays as far from Euron as is absolutely humanly possible.
She'd be smart to keep away from Euron. She'd also be smart to keep away from Pate, but I suppose it's too late for Pate. She should stay away from this new version of Pate as well.
I think she should stay away from creepy fake Pate as well.
Just stay away from Westeros if you can.
Maybe she should just leave. Yeah. Stay off page.
Really. That's the best place to be. Don't let George notice you too much. Yeah. That's right. The person you really want to ignore you.
Do not attract attention from the author. All right. Question two has to do with a character who is introduced to us as Lazy Leo. He seems like a pretty difficult person to like. And he reveals a bullying streak as well. What disparaging name does Lazy Leo call Mollander, his fellow student at the Citadel, which references his clubfoot? So almost as soon as Leo enters the story, he's insulting Mollander. And we want to know what is the name that he uses.
You wonder how this could have been referenced when George wrote so many versions of this chapter. You know, he wrote one, you know, as we know, he wrote one, he tried writing it from Mollander's point of view, so that he would have had to write his reaction internally to this insult that he's having to deal with. So,
Yeah, I know we'll never get to see it, but I'd like to see some of those alternate viewpoints for this chapter.
Yeah, that would be cool to have the like from the equivalent of the outtakes.
Yes, yeah, right.
If you were to give us the Mollander and the
Rosie,
especially if there is an Alaris version, that would be neat to have.
I would love that. Yeah,
that character's got some secrets that we're all really curious about.
Yeah, indeed. And great segue to the next question.
Alaris is a rather successful acolyte of the Citadel, and there's various hints to a mystery regarding his parentage. So question three is, what we want to know is, where does Alaris's mother come from? I think I said their name like two or three different ways there, pronunciating. So no, I also said pronunciation two different ways. So I'm really just trying a lot of things out today.
This is satisfied all the various ways that we could say Alaris, whatever, what have you. It's free for all, George has said. We can say it how we want to. So, all right, question four. back to Pate. He's a very sad character overall. And even when things start to look up for him, they don't always turn out that well. Once he was tasked with looking after an ailing archmaester, and he had some pretty high hopes from that, but it turns out to be rather fruitless because Pate effectively just became a personal servant. Who is the ailing archmaester that Pate was called to serve?
Yeah, you know, I think part of the problem with Pate is that life started off bad for him the moment they named him Pate. I think it's all downhill from there. Notice that there are many Pates in Westeros, but how many of them are POV characters? Just this one, and, you know, things don't go so well for him. You don't, there's, yeah, you know, it just, it's not the name of a hero.
It is not the name of a hero, and doesn't he think that his mother must have hated him to have given him the name Pate?
Look at us being so namist.
he's so bitter. Poor.
Yeah. We're being namists.
We are not, apparently, you know, what is in a pate?
What is in
that
a pate?
Which we call a pate by any other name?
all of our listeners named Pate are really mad right now.
Seriously, if we have any listeners named Pate, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
But I also please do make yourself known, because that would be amazing if there really is a Pate out there, because I'm pretty dubious there are any Pates out there.
I am. If there was a Pate out there, especially listening to us, this podcast is definitely dedicated to
you.
That's, you know, without a doubt.
You've earned it.
Okay. You got a fifth question for us?
Yes, we do. It is, the Quill and Tankard seems like a lovely place for budding intellectuals to have a drink together and relax. What alcoholic beverage of which Pate partakes, perhaps harvested from the surrounding area, is described as, quote, fearsomely strong?
Over and over again.
Yeah, even in the past.
Yes, in multiple point of views and in multiple timelines, it's called fearsomely strong. So what is it? Okay, question six. This chapter is all about Pate stealing an iron key from Archmaester Walgrave. However, Pate has already been wrongfully accused of theft in the past. Which maester, at some point, made this accusation against Pate? I want to say, look, that we mentioned this person on the live stream, Game of Thrones.
Ooh, yeah, we did.
Wrap up yesterday. That's right. Ever so briefly, but just, I'm just
we threw
saying,
that out there.
He's pretty obscure.
That might make it more challenging, because people know we're talking about a Game of Thrones, and they think, oh, so that character was mentioned there, and yes and no.
Yes and no. Gosh, now that we've really muddied the waters.
This is we said this was a hard quiz, so, you know.
Good luck.
Yeah. So, question seven. There are different colors and substances for the different links at the Citadel. These links indicate a maester has legitimate knowledge over a specific subject or discipline. Our question is, what color link equals mastery over Ravencraft?
Okay. This one? Might be one of the easier ones, but, you know, let's see. We try to throw a couple of somewhat easy ones in here. So, you know, good luck telling us what is the color of the Ravencraft link. And we'll move on to question eight. Back to our favorite drinking establishment. The Quill and Tankard is a historic building, surely with many stories to tell us. We want to know how long this inn is said to have stood on its island without closing, as per the prologue.
You have at least a chance of guessing that right. Because the answer is, spoiler, a number. I mean, you can probably eliminate numbers like 1 and 2 and 3 and a million. So, you know, it's between 3 and a million. I give you a little hint.
That's a good one. Good hint.
They can't say I never gave them anything.
Yeah, right.
And in exchange, I expect a glass of fearsomely strong blank.
Something. Some fearsomely strong.
Something. Yeah, just give me something fearsomely strong. And that's a little bit of a segue here to the next question, sort of. Question 9. In his 5 years at the Citadel, Pate had previously attempted to earn a link for knowledge of the heavens. The man who judged his first attempt, Archmaester Valen, has a nickname that turns out to be rather apt, in Pate's opinion, and ours. Mm. What is Valen's nickname?
I'll tell you something funny about Valen. I'm sure that in our episode on this chapter, I pronounced it at least 3 different ways. So, like Alaris, you know,
yeah,
you know, have it your way, whatever makes sense to you. Now, we're going to talk about another Archmaester, or question you about another Archmaester. This one, with a ring and rod and mask of yellow gold, counseled Pate to leave spells and prayers to priests and septons and bend your wits to learning truths a man can trust in. Who is the Archmaester whose ring and rod and mask are of yellow gold?
Good question.
It is a good question. It wasn't staring me in the face. I don't know, guys.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have known this one.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't make you feel like your chances are worse. But hopefully it does make you feel good if you do know the answer.
If you know the answer, please shout it out to us. Definitely. If you got that one right.
Okay. I think it's time for question 11. Marwyn the Mage is, in a way, in many ways, perhaps, a rebel within the Citadel and doesn't follow the flock, whom he refers to as gray sheep. We hear from Leo Tyrell that the mage's interest in magic has paid off, and there's a glass candle illuminating his chambers. There are said to be 4 glass candles at the Citadel, and 3 of them are black. What color is the 4th? Another color question, I see.
Color question, yeah.
That's good. Your odds of guessing this one are in a shorter range than between 3 and 1 million.
Definitely much smaller than that. Good luck. And here's question 12 for you. We're back to the eternally open watering hole, the Quill and Tankard. It rests upon an island and has a torchlit terrace. We imagine the views from that terrace are quite beautiful, and the surrounding river must only add to the ambiance. The question is, what is that river called?
It's an old river, isn't it? An old, old river. Old Town, of course, would be next to an old river.
Indeed. Indeed. So, I actually found this... there's more than one river in that region, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Another question is this a fearsomely strong river?
Ah.
And what color is it? River? No. And what is this river's nickname?
And its specialty.
Yes. And who is its mother?
These are a lot of questions about a river, but whatever information you have, please give it to us.
Well, we're being thorough like the Archmaesters would be.
We ask all the questions.
For example, this next one, which is, novices come from far and wide to study at the Citadel. We're not given much background information about Pate's previous life, but we are told where he came from. So question 13 is, which of the major regions in Westeros did Pate hail from?
And here, this is kind of like colors. You basically have you have eight options.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
So,
very true. Yeah.
Know, pick one. Or maybe you know. I mean, it does say in the chapter. We mentioned it in our episode. So,
yeah, I recommend not guessing if you know the answer. I recommend giving the answer.
Actually, yeah. Give the correct answer if you happen to know that.
That's also advice straight from the Archmaesters.
Yes. Yeah. If you're being quizzed on something by, you know, Valen, just give him the right answer.
Fearsomely strong, Valen.
Fearsomely strong. Yes. Okay. So I guess that brings us to question 14, which is, this is an evil question. Just going to tell you that right off the bat. The day after the prologue, Archmaester Ebros was due to give a speech at the Citadel. Armin the Acolyte, who is a dedicated student, seems to be quite eager to be there on time for this speech. And that's the reason why he kind of rustles all of his fellows out of the Quill and Tankard when the night grows very old. The question, folks, is what is the subject of Ebros's lecture that he's going to be giving the day after the prologue?
And is it fearsomely strong?
Yeah.
Probably. It wouldn't be an important subject if it was if it was pitifully weak.
Yeah.
You know.
Hopefully not. That might have some might have some ill omens. Do you remember what Archmaester Ebros' specialty is?
That might help a
that
little.
That might help you figure this out, but probably not.
Yep, that's another tough one. That's another tough one.
Good luck.
You best know this prologue well to get those ones. But this last one, perhaps not quite as hard as some of the others. I'd say it's in the easier portion of these questions, but your mileage may vary. And it's the final question, number 15. Pate seems to die at the end of the prologue. So while the question may be easy, Pate's situation, not so much. And he seems to die at the hands of the mysterious alchemist. And his last thought is of Rosie. Then, curiously, we see Pate again in the follow-up Citadel chapter in Sam's POV, which ends A Feast for Crows. In that very last line of the book, Pate version 2 introduces himself saying, "I'm Pate, like the blank." And he doesn't say blank. That's your job to fill in the blank. So we've eliminated one possible nickname. His name is not the like the blank. It's not that. So it could be anything else. Yeah.
Anything else, really. So your job is to tell us what that thing is. We can tell you that, and it's not a river.
It's not.
Nor is it an archmaester.
Like the archmaester. He wishes.
Probably not. Poor Pate. And I doubt in the whole history of archmaesters there's ever been one named Pate. Although it would be just like George to turn around and give us an Archmaester Pate in some obscure history. Anyways, that was the 15th question, and we are going to take a brief break, and then we'll be back with your answers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All right, and we are back, and we are going to run through these 15 questions and give you the answers. So it is the moment of truth. Let's see how y'all did. So over to you, Z's, for answer number one.
The answer to how old is Rosie at the start, well, and throughout the prologue, her age doesn't change, I don't think. Maybe she has her birthday during the chapter, but as far as we know, she doesn't. So the answer is 15. Rosie is 15.
Yes, she is 15. We have a quote here where it tells us that her mother, Emma, was the oldest of the serving wenches at the Quill and Tankard, 40 if she was a day. Can you imagine? Still pretty in a fleshy sort of way. Rosie was her daughter, 15 and freshly flowered. Emma had decreed that Rosie's maidenhead would cost a golden dragon. And it is that which is the detail that is driving Pate through this entire chapter.
He wants that dragon.
He wants that dragon. Well, he... what he really wants.
Yeah, right.
It's what the dragon is going to get.
Quote, feelings, yes.
He has feelings of special sort. He's kind of a, I mean, you know, he wants Rosie's maidenhead, but really he wants to just whisk her away from all that as well. You know,
that's
he
true.
Has these cute little fantasies about traveling the world with her on their donkey.
Using all his vast skills to, yeah.
Oh, Pate. I'm so sorry, honey. That's, Oh, God. All right. Answer two. The question was about Lazy Leo, who, of course, is Lazy Leo Tyrell. We wanted to know, what is the disparaging name that he uses for Mollander, which is in reference to Mollander's clubfoot. Look at that. I said Mollander two different ways in one sentence.
Mollander.
Mollander.
Like Zoolander.
Mollander. Exactly. Mollander. A.K.A. Hop Frog, if you're Leo Tyrell. So that's the name, Hop Frog.
That's one of Leo's more creative names, I think, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't usually reach very far. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he's not very creative. I mean, he just calls Sam, like, what, some sort of whale. Like, you could definitely do better than that. I mean, he is Lazy Leo.
Maybe that's why he's lazy. I mean, he calls all things to do with pigs, you know? So, I don't know. It's a... maybe that's his laziness. He just is intellectually lazy. And we did wonder about that. So, well, I don't know. If you guys have ideas why Leo Tyrell is lazy, let us know. Other than that.
Lazy Leo was slouching by the foot of the old plank bridge, draped in satin, striped in green and gold, with a black silk half cape pinned to his shoulder by a rose of jade. So the old slouching, I guess that's what... George is trying to throw something in there.
The good characterization. Yeah. Yes. Very good.
Okay. So the third question was, where does Alaris's mother come from? And the answer is the Summer Islands. She has some of that darker skin tone. As the Summer Islanders are very dark in skin tone. And we have a quote here. It had been Lazy Leo who dubbed Alaris the Sphinx. A Sphinx is a bit of this, a bit of that, a human face, the body of a lion, the wings of a hawk. Alaris was the same. His father was a Dornishman, his mother a black-skinned Summer Islander. Although, I don't know, Alaris doesn't actually have the body of a lion and the wings of a hawk, but you'd think that would have been mentioned. I mean, Pate isn't the most observant guy, but
probably
would have seen that.
Yeah, he probably would have. So this Alaris was the same. statement is a bit misleading.
Yeah, using same pretty loosely here.
Yeah, it's more of, yeah, it's more of a metaphor. But okay, so that was hopefully one of the easier questions. So we hope you got that one. Question four had to do with the Archmaester that Pate had gone to work for. You know, he had initially high hopes that he was going to get his ring for Ravencraft from this Archmaester. He gets there and he finds out that this guy is basically, you know, senile and incontinent, and Pate is just there to wait on him and wash his small clothes. And this Archmaester is Archmaester Walgrave.
Walgrave. Yep. Sounds like a fascinating fellow.
Weeping in the library because he got lost. I mean, poor guy. What's interesting about Walgrave here, and, you know, we see him in this chapter, or we don't really see him. He's mentioned in this chapter only. He seems to know Cressen. He gets Pate confused with someone with Cressen.
Yeah. And he has a prince's gauntlet, which is like, hey, what's that all about? His stuff is definitely fodder for a lot of theories and connections that we may or may not get any resolution on.
That collection of stuff reminds me of the collection of stuff in Sirius Black's house in Harry Potter, where they eventually have you read Harry Potter? I'm being a spoilerific.
No, I haven't.
Similar collection of things, and some very significant item turns out to be one of these things that's mentioned just kind of offhandedly. And then a couple of books later, all of a sudden you're like, oh. Yeah. Oh. So I know a lot of you listeners will know that, what I'm talking about. So, alrighty. It's over to you.
So number five. The question that we most referred to throughout the rest of the episode, because fearsomely strong, it could be anything, although we do know that fearsomely strong in this case is a beverage, and that beverage is cider, yes. Alaris sipped his wine, the rest of them were quaffing tankards of the fearsomely strong cider that the Quillan Tankard was renowned for X number of years, which that answer's coming.
Yes, exactly.
So is it Maester? It's Duncan Egg that refer to the same fearsomely strong cider, right?
Or it might actually be,
I believe. I can't recall.
It might be.
Or is it both of them?
It's definitely Aemon talking about Duncan Egg being there with him. But I feel like fearsomely strong is mentioned somewhere else other than just those in Sam's POV by Aemon.
I'll look real quick while we're sitting here.
See, we can do things like instantly search, because fearsomely strong is pretty, it's a pretty unique.
So 12 times fearsomely strong appears. Well, some of these searches are the word fearsome and the word strong appears. So it's not actually 12. Okay, so we have Arya 2, a Storm of Swords. His fingers were hard with callous and fearsomely strong. That's Lem. One night in the Quillan Tankard, after the second tankard of fearsomely strong cider, that's this chapter. And then again, it's in this chapter, then again in this chapter, then again, and then again. And then Maester Aemon in A Feast for Crows, Samwell 3, he says, "We were drinking in the old inn where they make the fearsomely strong cider. I was young again and my brother Egg was with me." Oh yeah. And the other time is Eric the Anvil Breaker had once been a roaring giant, fearsomely strong, fiercely loyal. So he's also Eric the Cider Man.
Wow. So this is cider as strong as Eric the Anvil Breaker, which is, that's pretty strong.
The cider is still strong, though. He is no longer fearsomely strong. In fact, he's fearsomely dead, according to the Winds of Winter chapters.
Okay, well, the sixth question had to do with the maester who had accused Pate at some point in the past of stealing something from Walgrave, and he was wrong. Pate had not at that point stolen anything from Walgrave, but who was this maester? And it was Maester Gorman. Maester Gorman, who now sits below the Iron Mask in Walgrave's place, who is the, you know, having once accused Pate of theft, is highly unlikely to give Pate his ring for Ravencraft, in spite of the fact that Pate probably knows enough about it at this point to legitimately earn that ring.
True that, yeah. I don't think that Gormy was a big fan.
Ha ha! Well, Gormy. You got a guy named Gorman. I guess we have to call him Gormy. Yep. Gormy has a second name, which he left behind when he came to the Citadel. Gormy is a Tyrell.
Ooh. And he was almost took, he almost took Pycelle's place.
Yeah.
Tywin said no to
Tywin
that.
Tywin said no, but Tywin's not around anymore.
Yeah, and so Pycelle isn't either. So.
Neither is Pycelle, so you have to wonder.
I think Gormy might have his chance after all.
Yeah, so never know. We might be seeing more of him in Winds of Winter.
And if you're curious about what we were, why he comes up or how he comes up in book one, which we refer to when asking the question, it's because he's in the appendix. He is, yeah, of course, not mentioned anywhere in the books. There aren't even any Tyrells in A Game of Thrones, so mm-hmm. except for Loras. And yeah, so that was this kind of sneaky. So mm-hmm. apologize yep. if we made the question even harder than it already was.
But he's in the appendix, which means George had thought about him in A Game of Thrones. And of course, he does pop up in that... Is it Clash of Kings or Storm Swords, where that Varys tells Tyrion that they had been on the verge of sending Gorman from the Citadel to take Pycelle's place. So oddly, you know, he's comes up in some pretty obscure places. So we have to wonder if, you know, George has had him in his mind for a while.
It's maybe. A Storm of Swords.
Yeah, okay. Early Storm of Swords.
Yeah. Tyrion 2, A Storm of Swords, yeah. It happened to still be on my search because I had looked for Gorman. I was like, wait, I've already searched for this.
You did this already. there we go.
There it is, yeah.
Yeah. So, who knows how important Gorman Tyrell is going to be.
All right. So, number 7, which is, what is the link color for Ravencraft? And the answer is the same color as Raven's, black. Yes, this is the link that Pate is trying to get from Walgrave. And yeah, 5 years, can't even get the Ravencraft link. Sorry, Pate.
Too bad, Pate. I like this. Pate is listed in the appendix as a novice of little promise. Oh,
even the appendix throws shade at Pate.
Oh, poor Pate. He's just...
Jeez.
Just doomed, really.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to the Quill and Tankard.
Let's please. Do. Let's have something fearsomely strong.
We wanted to know how long the Quill and Tankard is said to have stood upon its island without closing. Never once has shut its doors for 600 years, according to this prologue.
Mm-hmm. Roughly the same age as House Frey, for reference.
That's a long yes. time to not close your doors ever. Think about it. So
they haven't had a red wedding in all that time either. So they're also beating the Freys in that regard.
Yeah.
Because the Freys close their doors all the time. They charge you money to, you know, whereas I'm pretty sure the Quill and Tankard has no cover.
Mm. Come to the Quill and Tankard, no cover. That's what we should have had in our Quill and Tankard ad. In that episode. Yeah, so there we are. 600 years.
I guess
years.
That's kind of funny because you need to get to it via a bridge or a little boat too because of the little island it's on. Hey, this is closer to than the twins than we thought.
They have really got a lot in common with the phrase, but it's way cooler. Way cooler than the twins because, you know, you have...
Way cooler. And the drinks are much better.
Better drinks, not sour red wine. Fearsomely strong yeah. cider. And, you know, there are a couple people there that are drinking some more pricey, very good wines, of course, being in the reach. There's that too, so.
Yes. Now, if a wine is not stored properly, it begins to taste like something here that is referred to by the answer to question 9, which is Archmaester Valen's nickname, who Pate thinks this nickname is apt, and that's because he's kind of mean, kind of acerbic, and that name is Vinegar Valen, which, yes, no one wants their wine to taste like vinegar.
No. You don't really want your Archmaesters to taste like vinegar either, but... Mm.
I don't taste a lot of Archmaesters, though, so I don't really know what the standard is, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't like a vinegar-tasting Archmaester.
It's probably unpleasant, so. Speaking of Archmaesters, question 10 was about another one of these guys. The guy who holds the ring and rod and mask of yellow gold, who told Pate to leave spells and prayers to the priests and septons, who was that? We never meet him on page. He's just mentioned. It was Archmaester Ryam.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so with a name like that, we have to wonder. No wonder about Ryam.
What house is he from?
Yes. Is he from a major house in the Reach?
Yeah. Does he have a descendant who was Kingsguard and Hand of the King? Or a descendant, ancestor rather?
Yeah. Yeah. Could he be?
Or is that just a coincidence?
Could be.
Another beverage reference. Red wine.
Right. Just bringing it all back home with that. Yep. Yeah. So, we're... Question 11 is sort of about another Archmaester, isn't it?
Yeah, we do. It's about Marwyn, and we wanted to know what, because of Marwyn and his having a glass candle. The question was, there are 4 glass candles at the Citadel, 3 of them are black, and the 4th is green, like the color of wildfire, or Tyrion's... I don't know if it's his left or his right, but one of them.
One of them is green, just like that candle. So you had, you know, your chances of getting that right were pretty solid. So how many of you got green? Alrighty, we're question 12 brings us back to the Quill and Tankard. As we mentioned, it rests upon an island in the middle of a river. And this question asked you, what is that river called? And the river is the Honey Wine. It's all about kind of wine and beverages, and just all these names from the Reach are very evocative of their kind of what the vibe they have going on there. So.
Makes you want to take a drink out of that river. Like, that sounds like a delicious river.
It does sound like a delicious river. River Honey Wine.
But now we got people, according to this quote, dragging his clubfoot, Mollander took a short hop, whirled, and whipped the apple sidearm into the mist that hung above the Honey Wine. So it's also got apple flavoring in it. So, yeah, it's a really, it is quite a tasty river.
Cider, kind of a cidery flavor. Delicate, you know.
So question 13 was about Pate's background and what region he hails from. And it was not a trick question. He's not from the Reach, so you could at least narrow it down a bit. The answer is the Westerlands. He comes from the same region as Pycelle. Pycelle is from the Reach, rather. The same region that Pycelle is loyal to, rather, I should say. And so many other interesting characters. But Pate is not one of those. He's just from the Westerlands. He's maybe not so interesting.
He's not.
While we're piling on Pate, let's also say he's not interesting.
He is a novice of very little promise. I mean...
No. The things around him, very interesting. But himself...
He's not so much. Actually, if you read the chapter, you know, he has kind of a one-track mind.
Rosie.
Only thinks about Rosie. Poor kid. All righty. Question 14 brings us back to, guess what? Archmaesters.
And what you do after a long day of fearsomely strong cider or honey wine or any beverage that you've drank a lot of, even vinegar, well,
it all comes down to more liquid. What was the subject of Archmaester Ebros's speech that all these novices and acolytes had to get to bed and get some sleep so that they could be on time for this speech? It was very important. Speech about the properties of urine.
Hmm. Yeah. Mayan. Not urine. No, Mayan. Now I'm worried that some of this ends up in the honey wine, and maybe it's not such a tasty river after all.
Yeah. I might want to stay away from the honey. Maybe downriver of certain places. I don't know.
Yeah, upriver from the quill and tankard is maybe okay.
Probably preferable. it is definitely implied in their discussion about this lecture that they're all eagerly looking forward to that tasting of the urine is going to be involved. So, you know, I think Leo Tyrell is going to skip it. From the sounds of things.
now there's a beverage I would rather have vinegar. A case, yeah.
Yes. We would
definitely
would
give me the vinegar.
Take vinegar over urine. Lazy Leo Tyrell says, myself, I prefer the taste of Arbor Gold. So
that's kind of an easy choice there.
Kind of with him. So
Arbor Gold, urine,
Oh, Mollander, though, owns him. The choice is piss or you. I'll drink piss.
Ooh, so we were talking about what Archmaesters taste like. So now we're talking about what Leo Tyrell tastes like.
Yeah.
And worse than piss, apparently.
Worse than piss.
So. It's because of the laziness.
Yeah.
The last question, which is also the last two words of the entire book. Is there another line? Yeah, it's the actual last two words of the entire. It's the nickname, it's the sentence, the phrase that goes, I'm Pate, like the blank, and the blank is Pig Boy, yes, which is kind of like, damn, Pate is named after the Pig Boy. So when I was saying that his parents cursed him from the start, I wasn't just saying that. It seems to be like, naming your kid, Pig Boy. Like if you actually named your kid Pig Boy,
yes,
It
would be similar. Mm. How about Pig Pen? Remember the kid from Charlie Brown?
yeah.
The clouded dirt around.
I get the sense that Pate was kind of dirty too.
Yeah. So Pate like the Pig Boy, and that's actually kind of a hint to us that this Pate. Fake Pate or Pate V2 isn't really the original Pate, because the original Pate really hated being called Pate, and he was not very likely to go ahead and introduce himself as Pate the Pig Boy. So
yeah, he's just volunteering and he's like, yep, I'm the Pig Boy. I'm the one you've heard about.
Red flag right there as far as the identity of this person. That was it. That was our 15th answer. How did you all do? We definitely want to know. Aziz, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun and difficult, and it was a fearsomely strong quiz.
Fearsomely strong quiz, indeed. We hope you all enjoyed it as much as we did. Again, let us know. Shout out to us your scores. Thanks for playing. Aziz, thanks for being here. You already told us kind of what's on your agenda, but feel free to tell us again what's going on, update us on your schedule and such, and obviously where to find you.
Yeah, check out History of Westeros on Facebook. It's just History of Westeros podcast, and that's where you can find the schedule for our reread. It'll be going up within a couple days of this recording. And so will you can follow us on Twitter to keep up with us in other ways. But other than that, yeah, I think we're easy to find, and we hope you tune in to our upcoming content.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, check out the Facebook. Your Facebook group is very active. It's a great place for discussion with like-minded folks, and a good place to keep up on what you have going on.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. Thanks again. And I will see you all soon with another regular episode. And bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.